Well, welcome. Good morning. Nice to see you all here. Beautiful November morning. Get to come to the house of the Lord, worship and praise the Lord together, and read his scripture, and just what a wonderful time. Just looking forward to it. A lot of you know I took last week, and I took the week off. I spent some time at home with my family, and I was hoping, you know, I don't know if relaxing ever fits in my vocabulary. So we were putting up firewood, and we were doing some garage projects and taking care of some things at home, spending time with the kids. It was a sweet time. But at that same time, I was also preparing for this message. I was doing some fasting and praying. I don't know that ministry ever stops. In fact, I hope it never does. So I just want to take a moment before we start with this morning's message, just to kind of quiet our hearts and seek the Spirit of God to move here today. I believe he already has. I know he's here. I know he's moving, and I just want more of it. So let's just seek him in a word of prayer before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for coming here and joining us and moving, not only here, but downstairs and with our Sunday school and our nursery and everywhere in between our Bible studies this morning. Lord God, just be a part of it all and just move in amazing ways. And not only here, but in our community and our other churches and our nation around the world, Lord, have your will. That you just continue to move and stir and do amazing things, Lord, and that we would recognize it, we would see it, and that we would seek you in prayer. And just know that we have the ability to do so with power and boldness and hope. Lord, we just thank you for all that. Just be with us today and stir people's hearts, open our ears and soften our hearts to today's message. Lord God, we love you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's been over a month now since I spoke. I talked about the proper view of God. Maybe some of you remember. I talked about, we used the book of Job to prepare us when tragedy hits. That's where we left off last time. The whole point of that message was to make us feel small in the presence of God. That was the point. He's holy, 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 and we're not. That was the idea. That was the point. Our contemporary Christian culture today has this other idea of Christians in our world. God is only love. Now, God is love. He certainly is. He sent his one and only Son to the cross to die on our behalf. He certainly is love. That was the most loving act ever, and that ever will take place. So that's true. Problem is, if you're just focused, God is only love, it's lacking truth. It's lacking truth. He's more than that. He's much more than that. So after preaching that message, I went and I attended a revival meeting. I spent that Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and I would have went Wednesday night, but I had a full schedule, so I couldn't make it. So I did some following up, and I followed up on what the last message was on Wednesday, so I know what he was talking about. And I went through all that, and that led me to today's message. The title today is Us Who Believe, or it could be Those Who Are in Christ, or it could be maybe a message to the saints. That would all be appropriate for today's message. And if you're with us here this morning, you think, Casey, I don't know if that's me. Maybe I'm not one who believes. Maybe that doesn't describe who I am, you know, the saints or one who believes. Well, I want to encourage you, don't check out, hang in there. This is just as important to you as it is to us who believe. In fact, probably more so. So hang in there to the end. Stick with me. Friends, what if I've told you I've kind of been maybe holding back a little bit? That surprise you? If I said something like that, what if I said I felt maybe a little bit restricted in my walk, in my studies, in my preaching, and my working towards ordination? I've been feeling a little bit held back on that. I feel sometimes on a Sunday morning, I sit there in my chair, I listen to Jim preach, or I'm up here, and I just want to jump out into the audience and make sure you're listening. Make sure that you're hearing what's being said, that you're understanding what's being preached. I go through that. That actually sits with me. That's part of me while I'm in that chair. Would that surprise you? I get excited about the God that we serve. I see what he's on the move. I feel him. I know he's real. And it makes me excited. And sometimes I just sit there and I just want to jump. That happens to me a lot. More than I care to admit, but a lot that happens. So let me explain. When God, through his grace, got a hold of my heart, I was radically changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I was completely different, and I knew it. The Holy Spirit inside of me just consumed me, and then I go to church, and my brothers and sisters around me sit there, calm and collective. And I was confused. I'm like, what is going on? Do they serve the same God I serve? Do they understand what's going on in this book? Do they hear what the preacher's saying? This is exciting. I was all going on. I battled through all of this. I was in a Bible study, a men's Bible group, and my dear brothers and brothers there, they're saying, you know what, Casey, you're in cage stage. You'll be fine. This will wear off over time. You'll calm down. You'll relax. Bless their hearts. In some regards, they were correct. They were. I have learned to calm down, maybe relax a little, but really I've learned just to control it. It's always there. It's always in me. I always feel it, and I just kind of tone it down. Sometimes from my wife, sometimes it's, but it's there. It's constantly there. You can see they kind of put up a fence for me this morning, so I got to stay back. I can't jump out there, but that's a real thing for me. So, in some regards, I've learned to control this, but what if I said maybe that's of the flesh, and maybe that's not of the spirit? What if I said it's maybe my flesh that keeps me calm and quiet? And maybe the Spirit is saying something else and I'm not recognizing, I'm not understanding it, okay? So my last message was to redirect our thinking, to discern how big and holy and loving and powerful God is and how small we are in comparison. Today, I want to show us who are believers, us who believe, the power and the hope of the Holy Spirit that we have, and that maybe that those who don't believe and don't know that God would want to. And by the way we live and serve him would be encouragement to them to do so. That's the idea for today. So that's my introduction. Sorry it was so long. Ephesians 1, 15 through 20 is where we're going to start. I'm in the New King James Version. This is Paul speaking to the believers in Asia Minor. He's speaking to the churches there, and he recognized what's going on. This group of people that were called to Christ at the cross, and they knew it, and they had the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them. They've seen the world through this supernatural lens, and Paul has recognized that, so he's writing to them because of all that going on. That's verses 1 through 14 in a nutshell, and we're going to pick it up in 15. So because of all that, because of the mighty movement of God that's going on in Ephesus, Paul writes this starting in 15. He says, because of that, or therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is fantastic news, friends. This is great. God is recognized, or God through his grace has given these people in Ephesus this power and recognition of the Holy Spirit within them. And Paul could see it, and they knew it, and they lived like it. And not only that, the way they loved one another and the way they loved was just evidence, all the more evidence that this was going on. So it was the proof of their salvation. This is fantastic. And then it goes on in 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, of his inheritance in the saints. So the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your hearts being open to that, you now have the hope. You have the hope and you understand his inheritance that we have. Did you hear that? His inheritance that we now have. This is good news, friends. This is good that this is going on. We should be excited about this. It continues to go on in 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, that's our title, according to the work of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So this same power that raised Jesus from the dead, we have, we inherit, we get, we live in. This is fantastic news. So this is what happened. I was at the revival. Jeremiah Bullock was speaking. That was the revival, or the evangelist that was there. And he's given this message, and he's saying the Ephesian church sees the whole world, or their world that they're living in, through this supernatural lens. And not only do they see it through that lens, but they live in that lens. This is how they go through daily life, knowing that they live in the Spirit. Okay? He's making this point. And the problem I had is it didn't sit well with me. It didn't. I was listening to his message, and I'm like, I don't live like that. I don't see the world in that lens. I don't, that's not me. Is he even accurate? Is he true with what he's saying? So them were all the questions I had. And then I talked with him afterwards. I told him about the message I gave you guys on the proper view of God and Job and everything. And I was wondering, are they aligning with one another? Are we both speaking truth in this? And he assured me we both were. He was happy that I questioned it. And he told me to dig into it. Look in the Bible. Read it. Study it. What do you find? So that's what I did. I started studying and praying and learning about what he was saying. And what I concluded is what he was teaching was true. It was all true. Every part of it. And because of that, I felt I owed it to share it with you because I needed to repent after I heard it. I was off. I truly was. So I believe after studying this, the way and the reason I feel restricted, the reason I feel held back is because I'm not listening to the right authority. I'm not. I'm truly not. And I was not seeing the world through this supernatural lens. And not only that, I was letting the enemy define who I am. I was listening to the wrong voice. And I believe that the church at large is listening to that same voice. I truly believe they are. I truly believe they don't know who they are. The body of believers, us who believe, we are listening to the wrong authority. We have an enemy. He's out there to deceive us, to lie to us. That's his desire, to bring us down. If we get a glimpse of who we are, man, nothing can stop us. Nothing can. This church will explode. This community will explode. Our state will explode. If we could grasp who we are in Christ and what Ephesians and what God says we have and who we are, it'll change everything. And that's what he was preaching. He was preaching that to us. Let me give you an example. Us who believe, Jesus followers, born again, Christ followers, I am just a sinner saved by grace. Okay? I'm doing better than I deserve. Yeah? Thank God Jesus saved a wretch like me. You would affirm all of them, right? You would. That's all true. I thank God that he saved a wretch like me. I am a sinner saved by grace. I know that. But brothers and sisters, that's the old man. That's not us. That's not us anymore. That was us. That's where we came from. And that's what the devil wants us to believe, that we're still there. He deceives us. He lies. We are much more. You are saved by grace, and now you are a new creation in Christ. I am a child of the Most High God. I'm adopted into his kingdom. I'm an heir to the throne. I have his power. I have his hope. I have all of this. But what do we believe? No, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No. No, that's what the devil wants us to believe, but we have so much more than that. Do we believe that, friends? Do we live like that? Do we see it in Scripture? It's there and it's clear. And the more I dug into it, I was listening to the wrong authority. I would go around and say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Praise God I am, but I'm so much more than that. I'm so much more than that. I have his power behind me. And that just got me going. It got me excited. I had to know more about it. And I started reading in Scripture. And it was just verse after verse after verse of this language. It's just throughout. In John 1, 2, Romans 8, 14, 1 John 3, 1, Ephesians 4, 6, Galatians 3, 26, Matthew 5, 16, Luke 12, 32, Psalm 89, 26, 2 Corinthians 6, 18, Ephesians 5, 1, all use this same language. And then on and on and on it goes. And my favorite one, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's us. That's who we are. Do we know that? Do we live by that? Do we understand that? Why do we let Satan take us down and redefine who we are? We have power over that. He can't touch us in this supernatural realm. He can't. So keep that in mind, that supernatural lens. It's so important. I have two main points I want to make today. Casey, you've made several points already. But I have two main ones I want to make. First is our hope, and second is our power, and then we'll have some application at the end. We'll have to get going. First point, our hope. The eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Does anybody's eyeballs or anybody's hearts have eyeballs? We have any medical professionals here? Okay, we don't have eyes on our hearts. We all know that. But this is an enlightening of the heart. We see things through this new lens, this new supernatural lens. He gives that to us through his power and through his spirit. And he's talking to who? The last verse, the saints. Okay, so we have to define that. What is a saint? Who's a saint? There's so much confusion in our culture on what a saint is. Different denominations have different descriptions on what a saint is. So what does the Bible say a saint is? Let's look. Scripturally speaking, the saints are the body of Christ. Christians, the church, all Christians are considered saints. All Christians are saints. And at the same time, they're called to be saints. 1 Corinthians 1:2 states it clearly. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Jesus Christ are called to be holy. So the word together, sanctified and holy, comes from the same Greek root word commonly translated as saints. Christians are saints by virtue of their connection with Jesus Christ. That's what makes them saints. Christians are called to be saints. Listen to this. To increasingly allow their daily lives to more closely match their position in Christ. Today, that happens. This is the biblical definition of saints. That's who he's talking to. So, brothers and sisters, we have this hope. Hope of what? What's this hope? I know what goes around. I've been in the church long enough. Hope of eternity. Hope, salvation, that one day we'll be in glory with God, that we'll make it there, we have complete assurance of it, we'll end up being everlasting life, we'll escape the eternal hellfire. That's our hope. Way too low. Way too low. Way too low of a view. That's not accurate. If you look at the biblical definition of saints, Christians are called to be saints, to increasingly allow their daily lives to more closely match their position in Christ. Not of hope of eternity, hope of Christ today. The way we live, the way we go through life, everything we do, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we just do life, it should more match our position in Christ every day. That should be our direction. That should be our hope. That's what we should be seeking. If our hope is only in eternity, what do we tell our kids? I witness to my kids almost every day. They're probably sick of it. I talk to them about Jesus. You need to know the Lord. I talk to my Awana kids every single Wednesday. You need to have hope in Jesus Christ. Why? If all we're telling them is someday you get heaven, but you'll be battled and bruised and beat up by the devil for the next 50, 60, 70 years, why would they want it? They don't even think about eternity. They're young. They could care less. But if you start telling them you can have victory over this today, you can have it today, right? But we always talk about eternity as coming, but we can have that holy power and that hope today. That's, if we don't look at it that way, we're living in a victim mentality. We're already defeated. He's got more power than we do. The devil will overrun us. We'll be beat down by him. But that's not who we are. See, we let him tell us that, but that's not it. We tell our kids that the riches of his inheritance for the saints is today and today moving forward. This means, of course, we have assurance and eternal life, but also we have the possession of the Holy Spirit within us today. And all of other God's blessings are with us today. Do we believe that? The Spirit dwells in us, not at death, but in life, and a life worthy of our calling. We allow the Spirit to take control of our lives, and we not only die in victory, but we live today in victory. Right? Do we get this? Do we want this? Man, I desire this. It just woke me up. I was going through this, and I'm like, man, I don't do this. I don't live this way. This doesn't define me, but I want it, and I've been there. We sing the song, and we're going to sing it in a little bit. Victory in Jesus. We need to live like this, that the precious blood on Calvary saved a wretch like me. Absolutely it did. Thank God for that. But then it goes on. It says, cry to Jesus to heal my broken spirit. Then I came to victory in life today. We got that victory. And it concludes, it says, then one day we'll get that mansion and one day we'll sing in victory and glory. And that's eternity. We get the whole thing. We don't get pieces of it. We get it all, and we get it all today. It's true. It's the way, it's all over Scripture. If you start reading it through this supernatural lens, you'll see it throughout. It'll just start jumping out at you. This is who we are. It's crazy, but we don't live like it. We just don't, and I didn't, and I still don't, and I want to. I believe the early church, the Ephesian church, believed in this victory, and they saw life through this supernatural lens, and their battle was supernatural. It was spiritual. It wasn't fleshly. And if you think about what was going on in Ephesians in that day, it was much worse than what's going on in America here today. Now, maybe not in other parts of the world where it is absolutely tragic, but it was horrible there. But if you read the book, what does it talk about? Does it talk about the persecution so much? Does it talk about all the tragic events, the horrible government, the poor medical care? Does it talk about any of that? No, everything you see is a supernatural view. The entire book, as you read through it. And then it's all over throughout Scripture. It's amazing. So, with this hope of this new creation, I believe we have the ability to approach the throne of God with our prayers. And let me ask you, who else has that ability? Who else has the ability to approach the throne of God in prayer? Do the angels? Does Satan? Does anybody else? We do. We have that ability to approach that throne with confidence. This gets me fired up as I was reading through it. We can boldly approach the King, the holy, powerful, just God. And he's our Abba. He's our Father. And he adopted us with his love. And we can seek him through prayer. Man, that is so good. That's so good we can do that. Is that how we live? Do we live that way, in that hope? Of the hope of the calling to us that are saints, and with the power of the Holy Spirit in us, have you exercised that hope this week? Well, what do you mean, Casey? Well, have you sought him out in prayer? Have you had others pray over you? Have you prayed over anybody else? Have you gone? Have you petitioned? Have you just spent some time in prayer, seeking the God, the Holy One of the universe, to petition that power we have? It's amazing. That's that supernatural lens. We have to live through it. We have to find it, and we have to live through it. Second point, power. What's this power we're talking about? Verses 19 and 20, it says this. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us? That's God's power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. We've read it. We've all read these verses. But what is it saying? And it goes on to say, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. So what is this power that he trusted to us who believe? Well, the word power has different meaning depending on how it's used in the context of Scripture. We understand this idea. The word love, right? We all use the word love. I love my family. I love my kids. I'll take a bullet for them. I will die for them. I love my family. I love my car. I will not hit a deer. I park off in the back so nobody scratches it. I love my car. I love ice cream. Yes, please. Dairy Queen, Blizzard, Oreo. Love it. Same word, different definition, right? I do not love a DQ Blizzard the same degree I love my family, but we use the same word, right? That's what's going on here in Scripture. The word power. Jesus healed the blind. Amen? He did. There's power in that. If we could go through here and start laying hands, and I believe we can, and start laying hands on people and pray, that power is with us. That is some power. But then it steps it up. Raising Lazarus from the dead. I have never seen anyone brought back to life from the dead. I believe it is powerful, and I believe it is possible, but I haven't seen it. But then it goes on. It says, the power describing here is raising Jesus from the dead. That's the power. You could say the ultimate power is what it's referring to here. This is the power that brought Jesus back from the dead, reversed his process of decay, and transcended him. God raised him to completely new life, seated him at the right hand of the Father, and placed all authority under heaven and earth to him. And we got access to it. We get to go there. We get to seek that whenever we want. It doesn't have to be at dinner or on a prayer meeting. We can do it right now. We can do it anywhere. Bad day at work, doesn't matter. Seek the power. We have hope in that. That's what it's saying. It's fantastic. The more I was going through it, the more I was getting excited about it. For us who believe, we have access to this power. Friends, we can pray. We can access this power through Jesus who sits on the right hand of God. And we have access to that. We can defeat our enemy in this supernatural realm through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do we believe that? There's some things that are just natural and we can't do anything about it. You cut your finger, it's in the natural. You're probably not going to pray and heal over it. But there's other things that are demonic. They are. We live in a supernatural world. It's going on all around us. Whether you admit it or like it or not, it's there. And we have the power to defeat it. It's given to us who believe. And those who don't believe, they need to repent and ask for forgiveness and turn to Him. And He's faithful to forgive you, and you can seek this same power. It's available to everyone. This is the best news ever. And we all have that. Do we pray with that kind of power and confidence? Each week, do we live with this power in us? I felt this come and go on my walk. I really have, and I had to repent. It's like, I've been there. Kim and I, she's not here right now, but when we went through our adoption process, there was times we didn't know what to do or what to do, how the resources were going to come in, and we just prayed, and things just started happening. This power of the Spirit just started moving, and we knew we were in God's will. We weren't living in unrebellious sin. We were just seeking Him, and He moved in amazing ways. His power is amazing, and I felt it, and I always want to have that. Last point on power, when do we access it? I had to think of this. I really did, because when that overwhelming Spirit of God moved in my life, when I come to salvation, I would have came in here and said to you today that the day you believe in Him, that power comes upon you, and you get it today. I would have said that. But then I was speaking with Jim, and I know some other people that I've walked along my Christian walk with, and it doesn't seem like they have that power in them. But I know that they know the Lord. They'll admit they have a good testimony. You know they're saved, but they don't walk with that power. So that's why we can't go around judging one another. Why does that person talk like that or act like that or whatever? I believe the power of the Holy Spirit comes on people's lives in different ways. Some people are quickened by it and some people are not. And it takes longer. I believe that's true. And after talking with Jim, I believe it all the more true. And Acts 19, we got time too. You guys are blessed. We get a bonus. Acts 19. There's this wonderful story goes on. Look it up later and read through it. I'm just going to paraphrase it for today. But there's this story. Paul, he's coming into Ephesians, and he comes on these men, 12 in total, and he addresses them as disciples. These are disciples of Jesus Christ. He comes up to them, and he says, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Disciples, mind you. And their response to Paul was, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." These are disciples of Jesus Christ. They have not received the power of the Holy Spirit. So then there's this dialogue. They go on. They start talking about baptism and how were you baptized and what do you believe and did you repent and all this stuff going on in the next couple verses. And then Paul, he baptizes them in the Lord Jesus Christ. He lays hands on them and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There was 12 in all. This didn't happen immediately. This took time. But it still happened. It still came. So then the story is just beautiful. It just keeps on going on. They go into the synagogue and they start speaking boldly about this for about 3 months. And they get some traction and things start happening. But there's this group of men that rise up against them and drive them out of there because they're speaking of the way and they don't like that. So they withdrew. They didn't fight them. They got out of there. Their lives were most likely in danger. So they held back. They went in and they kept on teaching in the area. And it says in verse 10, they continued for 2 years, and all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. That's the power. That's the power we have. We have that ability. Do we believe it? John Wesley said his testimony is the same way. He went over to America. He started evangelizing, and he was a missionary over there to the natives. He spent time over there, and then he came back to England. And he said the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit he didn't experience until Aldergate. So this was much, much later. So when do we have this power? When do we have access to it? It could be 2 days into your walk. It truly could be. It could be immediately when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It could happen. Or it could be many years later. It really can be. But here's the good news. Could be today. Could be today. You could have access to this. Do you truly believe this? Now, you can't live in unrepented sin, approach the throne of God, and ask for His Spirit to move in your life and expect miracles to happen. You have to repent. You have to turn from your sin. You have to be living in His will. There are some expectations. But if you're willing to do that today, you can have power. You can have this today. I believe it true. So what's the point? Why do we want this? What's the application? And this is it. And this is what we're going to keep building on. Our next generation coming up, they have no problem with this idea. In fact, they're seeking it. They're looking for it. They want authenticity. They don't want to know that there's a bunch of people filling up a church, sitting there, doing little to nothing. They don't want that. And I'm not saying anybody sitting here that's not raising their hands and shouting and screaming doesn't know the Lord. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying the next generation, they want to see some authenticity in you. They want to see that you're on fire for the Lord. They want to know that you love the God of the Bible. They want to see evidence of it in your life. Not only here at church, but out in the community. Wherever you go, they want to see that. They're desiring it. They're looking for it, I would argue. And Jeremiah made the point, I'm not exactly quoting him, but this is what he said, and he did the research, so I'll take his word for it. Write him if you don't like it. But he said the 50s, 60s, and 7-year-old, you guys are just brought up in a different generation. And you guys, you're saints, you know the Lord, you know you have salvation, you're devoted to church, you show up, you do amazing giving, you're awesome generation, but you're quiet. It's not your fault. It's the way you're brought up. It's the way you're raised, and it's okay. But what he's saying is this next generation doesn't want quiet. They want to see it on display. They want it out in the open. They want to know that you know, and then they want it. And that's what he was saying. So that's the application, and I am so guilty of this. That's where it hit me the hardest. That's why I didn't like it when he was preaching this, because it wasn't me. I'm the one that sits there. Now, of course, I'm bubbling over, about ready to jump out of my seat, and I don't. So I might be a little bit different, but I always keep it quiet, and I don't have to. They go to sporting events, and they see men and women of all ages screaming on fire for their kid out on the field, yelling and just carrying on, and then they see the same people at church. What do you think is more important to them? And I'm not saying it is, but that's what they see. And that's what they interpret. So they want to see it on display. And I am very guilty. See, I'm the awesome. I go to the sporting events and sit there like this. And then I come to church wanting to jump out of my seat. So I'm a little different, but that's what they see. Don't you think it's time that we let that Holy Spirit power be put out on display, be revealed, that we let people know that it's in us, not only here in the church house, but out in the community where we go? And here's my example. If that sky, and I'm going to get my directions right, whatever east is, if that sky opens up today and splits open, what are you going to do? Sit there quietly, mumble an amen? No, you're going to jump out of your seat. You're going to praise the Lord. He's back. And you're going to make sure that everyone around you knows that you're excited about that. But we have that today, right here. We live that. He's with us. He's coming back, of course, but that's, we have it today. Justin, Jane, I'm going to invite you up for our closing song. We have victory in Jesus today, friends. We truly do that. If we could get this supernatural lens and we could see it that way and we could go to war and battle and prayer in this, I believe it would change our church. It would change our world. It really would. And that's what Jeremiah was preaching, and I believe he's absolutely right. And it's all over Scripture. I'm not going to let this go for at least a while. Lord willing, we're going to jump back into it next time. But let's sing this song before we close in a word of prayer. Well, you give me a week off, and then you come ask me to come and preach. So what would 2 weeks do? Who knows, huh? No, that was a nice time off. And it was when you're preaching to yourself, it makes it a lot easier. I had to repent of this. When I heard it, I had to seek the Lord. I had to repent. I had to read, study, and it was revealed to me, and I pray that just happens to you, that you dive into this, you see it, and it just comes to life through this supernatural lens, and you see the power that we have and the lies that we believe, and we don't have to. We have power over it. Let's seek Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this gathering, the saints coming together and just seeking You and Your word and what You have for us and the power and our hope today to serve you and love you, Lord God. What a blessing. Lord, just take that with us, not only here at the building of the church house, but as we go out, you have us in so many different places throughout our lives and our communities. And if we could just take this with us and share it with others. And yes, some will receive it and some will not. But that's not up to us. That's up to you. It's just our job to share it, the hope and the love and the grace and the mercy that you give us. And to share it with a lost and dying world, Lord God, just give us that power. Give us that ability to do so. And let us understand the Spirit that works within us. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that knows they need to seek you, that they have never heard this, this is new to them, Lord, have them cry out and repent and seek you in a real way. Have them come talk to me or Jim or whatever, Lord, and that they come to know you today. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for you moving, and we ask that you continue. All in your name, Jesus. Amen.